I work at the Congregation for Consecrated Life, and I've been there for 15 years now. In November, it will be 15 years. And it's always been a pleasure to come to your council's annual assembly to see how you are growing and how you grow. It is also our honor and privilege. We are honored and thankful to have with us this evening Archbishop Vigano, the Apostolic Nuncio, who will be celebrating Mass tomorrow for us. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for coming, Archbishop. I was quite pleased when I was asked to celebrate this opening Mass. It is quite fitting that although we have prayed together, some of us, and we have eaten together, the formal opening of the assembly is this votive Mass of the Holy Spirit, wherein we come together to celebrate the Eucharist, the greatest action of our faith, and to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit promised by Jesus, who said he would send him to teach us and to remind us of all that Jesus had said and taught. And so I thought it's a great honor to say this Mass, this opening Mass, votive Mass of the Holy Spirit. And when you say yes to these things, the next thing you do is to look at the readings. And I must say that I found the readings a bit of a challenge for the opening of this assembly. Our readings begin with vanity of vanities. All is vanity, says the teacher. All is futile. My goodness, how depressing is that? And as you read through that book, he talks about the emptiness, vanity being the emptiness of human wisdom, of human labor, of human purpose, of envy, of greed, of fame, of wealth, of coveting, of frivolity, and of recognition. All is vanity, all is empty, except unless you see it under the eyes of God. If you look at it only in human terms, under the sun, without the element of faith, then all is vanity. But the book ends with this quote. After all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of everyone. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So that what we do in this world, how we do live in this world, is of great importance. What we do and what we say has merit for our eternal life or our eternal damnation. And so we want to live. We all want to live. And so we have to make sure that what we do and what we say reflects who we profess to be. For those of us who have chosen to live the life of poverty, chastity, and obedience in imitation of the Christ, have taken on the challenge of witnessing, of being a presence of Christ on earth today. Starting afresh from Christ, that wonderful instruction that came out after the Holy Year, after the Jubilee Year, spoke about consecrated life as being a prolongation in history of the presence of the risen Lord. No matter what congregation, no matter what order we belong to, whether diocesan or pontifical or even an association of the faithful, whatever, we all share the same challenge of seeking to be Christ to others, seeking to be like him in whom we have placed our trust. Somehow, some way, we perceived that we had been called to a special life, to follow Christ more closely. It's the job of all Christians to follow Christ. But we perceived that we wanted to follow him more closely, more radically, by living the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience in community, sharing that life, sharing that vision with others. And our founders and foundresses took a particular aspect of that wonderful gospel message and sought to put that aspect into special elevation, to really concentrate on whether it be poverty or preaching or caring for the sick, but to take something of that message and to seek to keep it alive in the same way Jesus brought it to life during his lifetime. We are called and gifted to witness to the Lord. Now, it's a great challenge, huh? And on our own, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And with the help of the Lord, certainly all things are possible. And thank God for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are enlightened if we truly seek to know that will of the Lord. And that's what we have to do throughout our lives, is to seek to know the Lord better. In the gospel reading, we heard about Herod. He wanted to see the Lord. He was curious about the Lord. And we cannot lose our curiosity about the Lord. Hopefully, we know a little bit more about the Lord now than we did the day we entered. Hopefully, we've grown in our knowledge of that Jesus who came to save us, who came to show us how to live and show us how to die in faith, who called us to trust in God as his loving Father, assuring us that he would be with us all days, even to the end of the world. We are not alone in our mission. We are trying to carry out his mission. And because it's his mission, we have to entrust it to him, asking him to give us the grace to know and to do what he would have us know and what he would have us do. That difficult, difficult prayer, "Thy will be done," when there's so much of us that wants to say, "My will be done." And it seems that the more we grow, the more we try to conform our will to the Lord's will. That's what we should be doing. On Sunday, in the reading we heard, "As far as the heavens are from the earth, that's how far my thoughts are from your thoughts and my ways from your ways." Hopefully, hopefully, through our prayer, through our community living, through our experience of the Lord, we are coming to think more like he thinks and to act more like he acts. If not, our life is futile. It is vanity of all vanities. But if we truly, truly seek to know, what is Jesus asking me to do now? What is he asking of me at this stage in my life? Those of you who are superiors, what does he want you to do as superiors of your community? How does he want you to guide your sisters? What is he expecting of your congregation, of your institute? What would he have you do? Remember those famous bracelets of the 80s, WWJD? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus have you do today? And are you doing it? And hopefully we can say, to the best of our ability, we are. Because that's our mission. Our Our mission is to seek to carry out that will of God and to be clear signs of his presence in the world today. In November, we begin a very special year, a year that Pope Francis has called the Year of Consecrated Life. What a gift, what a tremendous gift from this new magnificent pontiff that we have. Rome is electric with Francis, it truly is. And we have this year to witness ever more strongly to who we are and to the wonder of the life that we have received. We are to remember the past with thanksgiving, to look to the future with hope while passionately living the present. Can we say that we're doing all we can do to show the goodness and the richness of consecrated life? Can we do more? And I would dare say the answer is going to be yes, because we can always do a little bit more. We're still on the road. We haven't arrived. But please God, teach us what we must do. Be with us. Give us that spirit we invoke today so that we may truly be your witnesses, that our life of the evangelical councils will not only speak, but will shout of the presence of the Lord among us.